Ladies and gentlemen, DLC junkies and microtransaction enthusiasts, my name is Jared, and with me is my expandable co-host, Ian.
That's me. I'm expendable. I'm expendable.
Expendably expandable. We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us at our table. If you're watching on video, it feels like whenever YouTube started, but yep. We're learning as we go here. Today, right. We will be looking at a variety of games that do better with the expansion added. So let's settle in at the table, get comfy, and discuss.
Expansions! Expansions!
We're a bunch of dorks.
Oh my goodness. Well, why play the base game when you can play with an expansion?
It's true.
It's very true. Every expansion adds more to every game, but are they always needed is the question, Jared.
No, they are.
That's the question.
That's right.
How do we feel about expansions to an already great game? Wait and see, as we discuss, obviously, this episode here. We will discuss what episodes we love.
Nope, we're not discussing any episodes that we love.
Expansions. Expansions that we will love or hate.
No, we're not talking about any hate.
Or that we did hate, but now we love. Let's discuss expansions. Thank you.
You're lying to the audience. There's no hate on this episode.
Expansions.
We can't
that
do that all night.
And then now you love. Do you, I guess one? I was trying to think of one because I know this has happened to me, but now I don't remember what it is. But do you have one like that?
Expansion that I hated that I now love.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. It's already such a big game. But, like, there's been certain Terraforming Mars expansions that at first I was like, this is completely unnecessary. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just spent money for no reason. Right. But then the more I played with it, I did learn to enjoy the ad that... it's, like, specifically... Venus was one that at first I was like, this doesn't add anything. It's just more stuff to worry about.
Right.
But I see its value now. What about you?
No, I don't know if I even have an answer to that question to myself. I don't know.
Thank you for bringing that question to the table.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't think there is necessarily. Like, I do think one, like any of the, some of the Ticket to Rides, I will say, like, there's like so many. That's a weird expansion thing because it's kind of its own game, so it's hard to do that. But like any of them, I'm like, oh, that's kind of, I don't think I like that. And then I play it and I'm like, actually, that's kind of cool. So
what about, okay, so Marvel Champions is your favorite game. Have you had a hero come out that you were like, eh, at first? And then you were like, no, this person's
okay. Okay, that's a good question. So Miss Marvel was, I remember when she came out, and that was early in the game. Yep. And so she came out and I was like, I don't know who that is. I don't care. But there was only four other heroes, so you have to buy her.
Sure.
And she ended up being one of my favorite heroes for a long time. So there is that.
There you go.
Yeah. I guess another good question is there a game that you hated, but then an expansion came out, and then you loved the game? Because I feel like that has also happened to me.
I don't know. I think there's been games that I've liked, but I've had issues with, and some of them are on this list, that the expansion came out and fixed that issue specifically.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like, dude, we try out so many games that if I hate it or I really don't like it, that game's gone.
You're not
like,
playing it again.
I don't have time for it, man.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I don't know if I'd ever play it again. No, I mean, I think I think both are true. I don't know if I have any of those games anymore that like where it was like, okay, I didn't really like it, but then I got the expansion. It was really good. I do think, you know, it does exist. So,
oh, sure.
We have an assignment for our fans. Please tell us if there's an expansion to a game that made it that much better. So if you either didn't like the game, it was just kind of like whatever, and then the expansion came out and you're like, no, it's a great game now. Let us know what that is, because I'm kind of curious of what expansions really expanded the game to that much, like that high of a level. I'm kind of curious.
So hold on a minute. Hold on. Wait. I answered, and you're making the audience send in an answer. What was yours?
I didn't have one. I said I didn't.
No,
have
you
one.
Said this has happened to you before.
I'm saying I don't have the games anymore that I because I've gotten rid of some of the games.
What was one of the games?
I can't remember which one.
Oh my gosh. He brings questions with no
answers. Like the Pandemic, like any of those expansions. Like I like Pandemic, but I don't own like. Any of the expansions made a lot better. Obviously, like that whole the Legacy was a lot better. Any of those expansions really, really made it a lot better in my opinion. Expanded it to a whole other level. And honestly, like, well, one a game that was crap that had an expansion. No, I don't have it a pure example of that because Pandemic was. I wasn't my game, but I did.
You wouldn't call it crap, though.
No, I don't think I would call it crap. No. So. Right. So anyway, I didn't answer the question to my own question, so I apologize for that. But you know,
you
we're here.
Apologize, I'll forgive you this one time.
Okay. Well, anyway, we're talking about expansions, Jared, yes.
And in true amateur YouTube fashion, we're going to share a very silly screen here.
Yeah. Well, I guess do we have any rules to this, or are we just like we're just winging it?
I picked expansions that. Like for me, heavily improve the game. Like okay. I like when a game can stand on its own, but especially in bigger games, there's times where you really need help. And so for me, that's where most of my motivation came from. What about for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, any game that was, I mean, all of these games I love. Or, you know, liked. I think all of them I liked, but these really pushed it to a whole other level. So,
okay.
So it took a really good game and made it even better.
Makes sense. All right. Well, you're up with the first one.
Ah, that's right. Well, everybody loves Ticket to Ride. I did mention this earlier. So Ticket to Ride USA 1910. We're going to go a blast from the past, taking it away.
Actually, that are from the past.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's good or not, because we're not talking about like the most relevant of expansions, but maybe we just haven't played them yet. But I consider this like an absolute must-have expansion. I mean, what year did this come out? Let's see.
2006.
Six. So
thanks, BGG.
Yeah, I mean, for a game this old, and they put this expansion out there, it takes it to a whole other level. It allows just add so many more tickets, and it creates this like you can do little spinoffs. You can do the 1910, you can do big cities, or you can do the mega, which is what I do. One, it gives you like 5 tickets to start. You have to keep 3, like just all this stuff. And then you're just drawing so many throughout the game. What I find is that, and I'll get to that the other part as well. There's more than just that. But on top of the tickets, obviously, there's so many of them, and they add the Globetrotter and like all that. The biggest thing it does is that it adds regular size standard cards instead of the mini cards that were in the original Ticket to Ride. So, like,
what a
on top
game
of,
changer.
Yeah. I mean, on top of the tickets, there just being so many, because there was a lot in the base, but like you started to see a lot. It was kind of predictable. You know, you couldn't get a lot in this in a row of like the same thing. Like, you know, if you're trying to go coast to coast, you could maybe get like one or two of them, and it'd be really hard to find. When you play with the mega like version of this, you start to find a bunch of them. It's awesome. So on top of that, though, the regular size standard cards is probably like standard American size, but whatever. They're full size cards. That is the biggest thing on the planet ever. Game changer. So that's why I consider this one just, it's so essential. It is essential to Ticket to Ride. If you're going to play it, just get this expansion because it's that good.
Nice. That's cool. No, I am a big believer in adding extra to Ticket to Ride. They definitely, especially the early ones, right? Like both for USA and Europe, they really kind of, those little mini expansions really help the game in a big way. Love that.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Ticket to Ride, Ticket to Ride Asia is the, without a doubt, the best map expansion that Days of Wonder has ever put out or ever will put out.
That's a hot take.
I will die on that hill. I love this map. I especially love the team aspect. It adds something to the game that I really enjoy. I always love a good team game. And so anytime I get the chance to have that, where especially it's something that I've already like played competitively individually and now we can do it as a team. Yeah. I really enjoy that a lot. And so there's like sharing of certain cards and you each have your own tickets, but you could like you could decide if spending actions to show your partner what those actions or those tickets are is worth it or not. So it really adds something that I really enjoy. So for me, if I wanted to add something Ticket to Ride, Asia is one that I will never get rid of because I just love this map so much. And I will die on that hill that this is the best one.
I have played this one time with you.
Yep.
And we played three couples to up to six players. It was a lot of fun. I did thoroughly enjoy that. The map is really cool. You get a lot of the the way that board is spaced out because it's Asia. But what map are you playing for the team?
If I remember correctly, and I'm going to screw it up, and I'm so sorry, but I'm pretty sure it's Asia plus Legendary Asia. So it's this side that I'm showing on the screen right now. I'm pretty sure that's the Legendary Asia side.
Okay, and you get extra points for the trains, right? For you put them through the tunnel. You have to dig the tunnels.
I was wrong. That wasn't the right side.
No, the Legendary Asia is the one where you have to dig the tunnels, and you like basically have to spend trains to do it. And then the other side is...
This is it right here.
That's
the one.
Sorry and so, for my yeah, audio regular listeners. Asia. Yeah, the regular Asia, you have to... it's kind of really empty in the middle of the map, so just depends.
It is interesting. Like that's the other thing about this map. Like the middle is very vacant on both sides, so you have to kind of navigate what you're gonna do and where you're gonna position your tickets because you know in Europe and in America you can like okay I can overlap these tickets pretty easily because they're gonna cut across the middle of the board and that's cool. But then this one, there is obviously still some overlap, but it's not as easy because that middle of the board is not there.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nice to have that. That's what I love about Ticket to Ride. So if we're going to talk about Ticket to Ride here just because we're doing it.
Have a moment.
Ticket to Ride, every map does something different. The way you play it and the way the routes all connect, the way you play the map, the way some maps you can't keep cards. You can't hold on to them. Build up this massive hand and then play. You can't do that in all the maps. And so I love the differences in all of them. But especially this one, it's very different because you really want that outside top or the bottom, but you got to get to that before everybody else, especially in a team game, because now you have six hands that are kind of like playing together. And so you have a lot of cards.
For sure. All right, Ian, next up.
Man, we're doing Days of Wonder Day. What's going on here? I didn't realize. I feel like a lot of my picks are Days of Wonder. That's hilarious.
That's true, actually.
So, Memoir 44, standard two-player game. Excellent. Excellent World War II style game. This expansion, Memoir 44 Overlord, is an expansion that they added, I don't know how far into the overall game, but they added it and it allowed players to play either with up to four on each team instead of just 1v1.
Hmm. Okay.
the original game came out with, you know, one of the scenarios in the booklet did have it. So they expected players to buy two copies and put two boards together. So that's
the MO, right? With Memoir, you really want two copies of everything.
If you're going to play more than two people, then yes. Yeah. If it's 1v1, you're just playing out of the box, totally fine.
Okay.
But when you're playing with more than two and you're playing these Overlord or Breakthrough is another thing they added as well. But Overlord is basically two. Normally it's three sections. The Overlord added six. So you put two boards together. But what they do with that expansion is add a deck. That deck of cards is specific to large format gameplay. And so you can see, like, if you're on the video and the podcast here, you can see the pictures of this very, very large board. Now, if you can imagine a whole board and then imagine eight players, three in each sector. So you have basically you have your own sectors of two if you're playing with four people on your team. On top of that, you have a chain of command or the commander in chief that is managing all of the field generals of those other sectors. And so basically this deck allowed it was more specific to this Overlord style gameplay where the commander in chief has to manage his hand and help his field generals as the game and the battle progressed. You have to react, and you also have to strategically plan your actions in advance because you only have so many cards, you only have so many field generals, and sometimes you might not get all the cards for that field general you want to, you know, activate that side of the battlefield. So this deck really propelled this experience because it made it very specific. A lot of people did use the old deck from the game, but this new deck really pushed it and allowed some really neat elements, very specific, like Commander in Chief style gameplay that he can do some like really cool stuff, like, you know, have a, you know, like an air attack or air, you know, air power was a card they kind of adjusted for this. All of those cards were in the base game, but this really pushed it. And then on top of that, they released map packs with that had all the terrain already printed on the map. You didn't have to set up anything than putting the troops down and then maybe like some sandbags. So the combination of the Overlord with the map prints that you literally just lay it out on your table and you play, like, it's so much terrain to do if you do your own two boards together. It's just a lot. Having the terrain printed is insane. And then them having this deck. Anyway, it's one of my favorite expansions to any game. It has made the game playable, like two-player. I just don't play a lot of two-player games. This allowed me to play with friends, and I can play up to eight. This is one of my biggest like party games that I've played, like with the guys. Is it's just eight. Like, yeah, I'll play this with six, seven, and eight. It's obviously better at eight, but like six or eight is really where I like to play it. And so like eight is so much fun though, because then what I do is I let my friends just play the field generals, and they're rolling the dice, they're doing all that. I'm just handing them cards, and so I'm kind of like reacting to the board, and I just feels. As a gamer, like, you know this, Jared, when you're like you're sitting at the table and all your friends are having a lot of fun and you're kind of just managing that fun, it's just so, that's how I feel when I play this, is like I can watch other people have fun and I get to participate strategically, but overall I'm just kind of like laughing and kind of giving everybody a little strategy guide as we go on, but I'm just watching them have fun. So that's how
it's,
I feel.
That's everything, man. That's awesome. That's the best feeling.
Very
cool. Well, when I go and buy 14 copies of Battle of Hoth when I run to the Gen Con booth, then we'll be okay.
I'm really curious. That does kind of shine some light on a future game, obviously. But who is doing that one? Is it Days of Wonder?
Yeah, it's still Days of Wonder.
So Days of Wonder is doing the Battle of Hoth, and I'm really curious if they also add, because on the back of the rule book had the Overlord for Memoir. I wonder if there's a thought to do the same. So
I would imagine so. It kind of is a reskin, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going to go ahead and implement some of the expansion stuff.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Man, that would be awesome. Yeah.
It would be. All right, next up, very simple. It's a little expansion that knew the assignment. So if you have not played King of Tokyo, this is Yahtzee with monsters. And you are battling it out with your... monster trying to win Tokyo and destroy it and destroy all the other monsters. And it is so simple and straightforward where you can buy power-ups, whether with different cards, like by earning energy and whatnot. But the monsters themselves are all the same. Like, you're just picking art is what you're doing and what you want to do. What this expansion does is it gives each monster its own ability. So it doesn't get in the way. It doesn't try and do too much. It understands the assignment. Yeah. And what it does is it adds a little bit more so that you can feel like you're playing your own monster instead of this piece of art sitting in front of you. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. But man, I love expansions like this that we like where the game is at. And what we're trying to do is add just a little bit to let you feel like we're giving you a little bit more. We're truly expanding to the next level. And so while this one is simple, I just wanted to add it because I do think that it is a good one.
Absolutely. I think I've played with this one. Do you draft the things or?
Nope. Each monster has their own set.
Oh, okay. It's each individual one has their own. Yep. Nice. Okay.
It's very cool.
It's been a while since I've played that one. So
these are the older ones. We're going to move into newer expansions here in a moment. But yeah. These are ones that we remember from older times when, for sure.
No, I mean, King of Tokyo, I thought was an okay game, but I do remember playing it with this expansion. I did enjoy it a lot more. So that's a cool thing to. It's a simple add, and it just makes it a lot better.
Yep. All right. Next up, you've got a double here, so we're going to talk about Heavy Rain first, and then we'll go into your other one.
Yeah. So he pedaled to the metal. We've reviewed on this podcast prior. So they've had two expansions: one in 2024, one in 2025. So Heavy Rain was the first one to come out. Both of these expansions are relatively simple. It adds a board. It adds some new special cards for, you know, your advanced upgrades and regular upgrades, but it also adds the tournament sponsor cards. That's the word. So all of those, very simple. I think there's maybe like 30, 40 cards total. It adds, the other thing it adds is it adds another color so you can play with an extra player.
Nice.
Each board, though, it's just so cool. They added just a slight new rule. And again, I played this with like new people and it wasn't too much to add. Like you can do some more basic cards as the upgrades, but like overall the maps aren't adding anything crazy. Like we played in the rain and is super easy. Like you can't do, you know, this type of thing while you're in the water. It's super simple. Like it's simple gameplay. That just slight changes, and we just throw cards around. You move around the board. Reason why, though, I think obviously this expansion one adding the seventh player, awesome. That's what they when they made this expansion, they added the seventh, and then the next expansion added eight. Spoiler alert! But
oh my,
but to add a seventh player is obviously great. Like this game plays so it's simultaneous play for the most part. Like you move when it's my turn, I move my car, but generally everybody's playing their cars together, you know, simultaneously. Everybody's doing everything, and then we do a quick little reveal, and then you're done. And so overall, adding players to a game like this doesn't add a whole lot of time, and so it just adds a little bit more chaos, which I love to a game like this. Like I love a little chaos on a racing game. Like who doesn't love that? So I think one this expansion specifically. Like adding the water and I think they added like the really sharp like back-to-back turns. They initiated that in this and then they continued it on the next expansion. One, it just makes you think about a turn and getting through turns like even a little bit more than the base game. So just a really simple, like I don't even know what to say because it doesn't add that much, but it's just like phenomenal expansion. Like it's so genius to add sure. One, more maps, another player, more cards. Like keep it simple.
That. With that, you want to segue into the other one?
Yeah. So, I mean, the other one is Tunnel Vision. Again, similar thing. Adds two new maps. One board, but it has double sided. New cards. New player. You know, color purple. Which who doesn't love purple? Purple's great. It looks beautiful. I think this is my favorite of the two, mainly because. So, if you've never played Heat, basically, you have your own car. You're playing cards, like speed cards, to play, and you play based on what gear you're in. Now, on the map, though, usually you play 2 to 3 laps. This one, and if you look at that picture there, it is one,
I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
Long just race. Just one long. It has a bunch of turns. It has tunnels.
You guys.
It is insane.
I'm not, full stop. I've not played either of these expansions. This is my favorite map, without a question.
It is so hard to race on this board, though. It is the hardest board because it is so turn heavy. Like, it is so many turns. And if you know anything about Heat, if you mess up on a turn or two, you are screwed for the rest of the race. I will say, though, because this race is so long, I did mess up early. I didn't get around a turn. I was well behind. I eventually got to a point where I had to push it, and I just overpushed it to try and get the lead. I felt like if I would have got the combo right, I might have been able to win this one, even though I fell behind early. So I think just because of how long it is, like, you get that option. Man. One, just, again, normally, like, 2 to 3 laps, fantastic. Love it. Like, it's great. And I love those 3-lap ones because, like, that usually means it's a lot of straightaways, which they did in this one specifically. Like, the one side has one long race, and then the other side has 3 laps that you play, like, a really short circle. So it's, like, really funny on how they comboed that.
Yeah.
It's, like, really tight. Just genius design, but also, again, it's the same thing. Like, the other one's just as good. I like both almost equally. I just like this one because of that individual, like, one race that's all just one lap.
Bro, I knew nothing about this, but, like, seeing the map in front of me, I'm like,
it looks chaotic
gosh.
As all get out, bro.
I'm all about this.
It's crazy. And then they also, so for both expansions, they added an aggressive legend. I will mention that as well. It makes the legends make a little bit more aggressive around turns, which is really needed. Like, the legends were decent, but when you got on these maps that had a lot of turns, they were not good. They fell behind early and they never came back. This, both expansions, it's not just one. It adds the rules. You can download the rules off anywhere, but the new maps are printed with, like, a little extra on them. You could play without that. You can just read the rules online if you really wanted to, no problem. But it add those rules. They added it to the game.
Nice. Awesome. Well, this is another one we need to play because I was kind of I'm okay. Like, I'm excited about Heavy Rain and some of that, but some of these maps in Tunnel Vision, man, like, you got me jonesing for it. So yeah. I'm ready to try it out.
Both of the maps on Tunnel Vision, they're definitely two of my favorites. But Heavy Rain's also very good.
Sweet.
I just get both.
Yeah, why not? Just because you need that 8 player, man. Like,
absolutely. Spoiler, I will add this too. So on the map, they have it printed that it goes up to 12.
Stop it.
If you look back at the map, so for anybody that helped, at the map on Tunnel Vision, it has 12 slots for players.
It does. I was looking at that and I was like, what's going on here?
Yep. So I don't know, a little foreshadowing. That would be insane. Imagine staying with 12. Woo!
I don't mean to hate on Days of Wonder because I think Days of Wonder is great. But I think this game in particular is a good spot to mention this. One of the things for me that makes an expansion great is when it can fit in the base box. I don't need 14 boxes for one game. There's a couple games in my collection like that, and I don't like it.
Yep.
And I know that these expansions do not fit in the base box of Heat, correct?
No, the boards do not. But I was able to get all the cards sleeved and everything in the box.
Okay. But then you've still got the boards like that you got to figure out what to do with.
Yes. I actually got them. I got them behind me. They're just in a separate box. I mean, I hate the art is really pretty on them. So, it's nice to have them too. But yeah, you just can't throw the boxes away. I would expect maybe there's a big box at some point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. That's easy money.
Unfortunately, the boards do not fit. There are some broken token or something like that that I've seen, or Etsy, where they have made everything fit.
Interesting.
But if they add more expansions, it's not going to work.
It's screwed. Yeah, exactly. So,
and to be fair, you're adding, like, boards are really thick. I don't know you would have been able to make a game box that fits 12 players.
No, plus I mean, again, like, I get it. I'm not saying it's the end of the world because I have expansions like that it's just not going to fit. It's still frustrating. Like, I want an expansion to be able to fit in the box if it can.
Well, and on top of that, they were planned for 8 players in the base game because it had the slots for the cars.
Yep,
so it's a little disappointing that the boards don't fit, but
Yeah, like if you come out with an expansion like years after you've published the base game where you're like, oh, we had this cool idea, then sure, I'm not going to be whatever about that. But you knew. You knew because there were 8 slots from the get-go.
They did. They did. And I don't know. I mean, the box is already pretty big, but I think like maybe if you laid it out differently, maybe there was a way to do it. The insert is nice, though. It has everything like divided.
Sure.
Again, you're compromised.
Listen, it's a small gripe because
there was a compromise at some point of like we wanted it to be organized so it's easy to basically pull and play. That's what they wanted, and so at that point you kind of committed to not being able to fit the boards.
I get it. I am picking on Days of Wonder, but it is a thing across the board that like I just prefer my expansions to fit in the box.
That's true. It's true.
I have a twofer, and they both fit in the base box.
Okay.
First up is Star Wars Outer Rim, Unfinished Business. And the other FFG big Star Wars game is Star Wars Rebellion, Rise of the Empire.
Both fantastic.
They are both fantastic. Both of them basically do the same thing, which is they take... So FFG has a habit of this.
They do.
Where they will set out a game... And then that game has some part of it that needs tweaking. I don't know why that happens, but it does seem to be a pattern. And with both of these Star Wars games, their original base game, Star Wars Outer Rim and Star Wars Rebellion, there was certain parts of the game that was lacking. Star Wars Rebellion is an incredible game. It is full of cinematic moments where you're going through the original trilogy as either the Empire or the Rebellion. And it is a massive game of cat and mouse where you are literally walking it out at a grand galactic scale. Let me see if I can find like an image of the map. But like you have all these pieces. It is a grand epic adventure. You're using heroes and units. Wow, this one's even more specced out because of the painting. That's so cool. I love it. But anyways, so it's like this grand galactic scale with both space and ground combat, and that was where it really screwed up. The combat system was very clunky. It wasn't smooth. Like it needed help. And so the Rise of the Empire expansion, it adds some new units, but it completely overhauls the combat system where you get to make some decisions about which cards you're going to play where, how different leaders interact with units, how you have not just dice rolls, but you have these power cards that can also be helpful, timing of certain things. Like I will never play Rebellion again without this.
It's needed. Absolutely needed.
For sure. And it also gives new cards for some of the objective decks and things like that, which was also very much in need.
And the heroes that it adds to, like, obviously, just for those that have been watching Andor and love Andor, it adds Cassian Andor, Jen Erso. It adds
the Rogue One crew. Yeah.
Yep. Adds Krennic, and then some Death Troopers as well. Like, it adds, like, it's got the Rogue One Andor vibe too. But also, like, it adds those, like, minor traits to the heroes, which I think is a great add. So, yeah, overall, like, that expansion is fantastic.
I really appreciate the way they thought through how to update this game. This is a much bigger add from an expansion standpoint. And the only downside to this is like, I basically feel like I have a second rule book that I have to keep up with, but it's just part of the epic, I guess. And then with Unfinished Business, you get a lot more characters in this one that definitely add new abilities and ways to play the game, and so that's really cool. But one of the things that this one does for me that really helps is it completes the circle of going around the galaxy.
Oh my gosh, yes.
You in the base game, you can get stuck in one corner and never, and like you get a job to go all the way across, and you're like, there's no way, there's no chance at all that I would ever get to do that. And it's just like, This totally changes that.
Why isn't that in the base game? That's my question.
Yeah, I truly don't understand that. There's other things too, like there's reputation for both the hero, or not the hero, the bounty hunter and the ship itself. I love that the ship now has reputation. I think that's so cool. And that adds to what you've got going on as well. So this one, this is a combination of it adds a lot more stuff, but then there are specific elements that really improve the game. And I am with you. There's no reason you shouldn't have been able to go around the map. So like the map is this semicircle if you're looking online. And it used to be you would just stop on the edges and you get to go back. But this one allows for an opportunity. And it's not easy. Like, it's not just a gimme. Like, you have some risk, which it should be, because you're basically jumping across the galaxy.
Yeah.
But you can do it. And
exactly. Usually, if you fail, you get a penalty, but you still technically go there, but you get penalized.
Yep. So, yeah,
you're jumping through hyperspace. That's basically what the thematically element there is. You're jumping through hyperspace to get to the other side. There's some risk.
There is. But it also adds more cards to all the various stacks, which is nice. New story cards, etc. So for me, both of these are a must add.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, on that one, I will say the last thing it adds, I don't know if you mentioned the cards, though, where it kind of pushes it reveals the bounties that you're looking for. So it's really nice. It's just another add that could have been there. Again, I'm glad they added it at some point, though. Both of these are great.
No,
it adds
I do appreciate that FFG does come back and it finishes some of these epics that are bigger, for sure. Yeah. Speaking of an epic, let's talk about Zoos in Ark Nova.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, I love Ark Nova. Jared, you love Ark Nova.
I do.
So Ark Nova added an expansion called Ark Nova Marine Worlds. It adds fish and marine life to the game. Again, it's another expansion I just will never play without. I'm always going to play with it. The cards are shuffled in, and I'm never touching it again. It is in the game because everything that it adds, I did down to very basics. It adds a couple of little details to basically some of the cards. It exchanges some cards. That's the one. Okay, let me say the bad thing that is that you have to swap cards out. They have no little numbers on the tiny bottom of the card. You have to swap out with the originals. A little tedious.
I don't care. No, totally I don't care. Yeah. If you're going to fix cards that you screwed up the first time around, I'm all for it.
And I, to be fair, that there are so many cards in this game that adding, like, you know, we talked about a little bit of like, why does a company like go back and fix things? When you're talking about so many, I don't know how many cards the base game had. It was a lot. You're going to miss a couple things, I think. Like, even though out of hours of playtesting, sometimes like you just want to adjust something. And especially with the new expansion, you added a little bit more rules. They went in back and fixed them. Awesome. I love it. And so that's like the basic thing. They added a little bit more like sponsors and like stuff like that. Cool. Now, let's get to the cards themselves, though. The victory cards, the ones that give you victory points or whatever, all of those are great. They added a new rule as far as like basically one new like group of those, which I think is great. Then the marine life, the fish, obviously the aquariums.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have an aquarium. Like, one of overall, my favorite thing in Ark Nova, because obviously it's about zoos, but like being able to either do a reptile house or an aviary, and now the freaking like, oh my gosh, an aquarium is so cool. Like, small aquarium or big aquarium, you now have the option to build them and put fish in there. And you can, like, load up. Like, some of the fish they did in these rules, like, it doesn't technically fill a spot. So you can, like, fill your aquarium up with these tiny little, like, minnows, and it doesn't apply to anything. I think it's just so neat. I love it so much. Like, my favorite thing ever, obviously, I love, like, out of all wildlife, like, I really love the different fish just in general. Like, I love the different species of fish they've added to this game, and I think it's just an awesome add. And you could always play with it because there's no reason not to. It's just another thing to build. It's not more or less complicated. It's just basically like you can put birds in the aviary, you can put reptiles in the reptile house, you can put fish in the fish, you know, the aquarium. It's not that more complicated. Obviously, do a very complicated game. Like, we're adding something that's so minor. And then it also adds like abilities to your cards, your actions. And it makes everybody have their own unique abilities as well. And I think that is so cool because it basically upgrades them. It makes them so much better. Like, they just, I hardly even play without those either because they're so good. Like, it just makes you like stronger in either drawing cards or like building stuff. It's just, everybody wants a little special ability. And so those are nice too to play with. It's great.
Can you speak to the wave mechanic at all?
Yeah, so with another mechanic they added, because obviously there's so many cards in Art Nova, like sometimes you would get like the line to like basically draw from or draft, you know, buy from, yep, would kind of get stale. And so they added the mechanic of the wave. And so when a fish is revealed and put onto the board at like the end of the line or the newest card, basically it pushes everything down. And so you would move everything down one. And then if you fish it, flip over another fish, it moves everything down. Flip over another, it moves. You could have a whole five new cards by the end of it because you have flipped a bunch of fish over. Sure. And they all have that like little wave. And so it's a really good way to like clear, you know, those cards that kind of nobody wanted or they were too expensive. Just get rid of them. It's another genius way, obviously, because the balance here, I'm adding like 50 new cards to a game. How do I make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to see those? Oh, here, it's built into those cards specifically, moves everything along so you can get new cards. It's,
well, genius. Yeah. And the other thing too is like in the base, those cards can just sit there and become very stagnant because you don't have as much of a clear off. The other thing too is it changes the strategy a little bit because I could sit there and look at my elephant that's super expensive that's sitting in that row and be like, I'll buy it one day. And then just let it like slowly work its way down the line. And you can't do that anymore.
It won't be. It might not be there.
Yep.
It might, but it might not because you never know. You might flip over three fish and then it's over.
Sure. No, I really love Ark Nova. I'm a big fan of zoos. And when I heard about this game, I had to get it. And this is one of those games. There are very few games that I'll play solo, but I will sit down with Ark Nova and just pound through it because I just really enjoy the process of collecting these animals and building up this zoo. And now you're telling me I can add like the animatronic dinosaur exhibit and aquariums and all this other stuff. Like, oh, it's so cool, man. Yeah. I love it. I'm all about it.
It's just such a great game. And then I guess a nice little pitch from us is that there is going to be a Kickstarter soon that'll add the 3D pieces all of the, you know, all of your zoo components. So all of your exhibits will have like, you know, the little aquarium will have a 3D part of it that you get to put on your board, and it's all like small, but it fits on your board. It's three dimensional. I mean, that alone is just going to take it to a whole other level of just game two.
Yeah,
I don't know when that's coming out.
I don't know when that's happening either. But it's supposed to be.
Yeah. I do know they're not selling like any expansion. That is just literally 3D pieces. So in acrylic, they're going to do acrylic, and then if you want that or the 3D, but I'll be getting that 3D.
I'm going to be hitting some people up and be like, hey, if you need a Christmas present idea for me.
Yep. Exactly.
Man. All right. Next up has a bunch of expansions, Terraforming Mars. But there is one in particular. If you buy one expansion in your entire life, it is this game. It is Prelude. If you tell me tomorrow, Ian, let's play Terraforming Mars without Prelude, I'm going to be like, no, I won't do it. Not at all.
Yep.
So Prelude, it's another one of those little simple expansions that understood the assignment where you have this very long game and you have an engine that takes forever to get going. And we said, okay, let's give them stuff at the beginning to let that engine start churning faster so that they can actually get to the part of the game that they actually enjoy. And to me, I don't know what else you could ever want than something that helps you get started faster. You get a few of these to start, and you get to kind of decide what your bonus is and what your corporation is that you're going to work with. Now, there has been some complaints that not all the corporations are balanced. And to that, I say fooey, because there's just different ways to play the game. And if you need to, that adds an extra level of handicap for newer players because this game is very intimidating for newer players. So give them the better corporations and see how it goes. But to me, it's very small, very simple. It is absolutely necessary when adding. If you were to add, there are other big games that I wish did this. Some of them do, and there's others that I'm like, man, you need a Prelude because it allows you to get into the meat of the game where I want to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, even the last game we just talked about, I mean, if Art Nova had a little bit of a... I think it ran pretty good. But
yeah, there's a little bit of dancing going on at the beginning, though, where you're just kind of like figuring it out.
these heavy games, obviously that's a big challenge in a heavy game, is to get ramp. And that's why heavy games do, like, they tend to be longer because there is that journey. And I mean, I like that journey in most cases, sure. But like you said, this is just, I mean, non-negotiable. Somebody bought me Terraforming Mars as a gift, which was an incredible gift. So thank you again. But on top of that, I was not going to play it with that Prelude because I had to go buy Prelude because I'd played it with you before.
Right.
And you I was not Prelude. Going to play it. I was never going to play it without Prelude because I could not do it. It's too, yep. It's just not the same.
It's vital. It's absolutely vital for a game like this.
And obviously, like, you get to pick out of like two, I think you get, you know, and so you get your ability. You have a continuous ability along with a bunch of resources of some kind that you start with. It's a perfect expansion.
And it's fun too, right? Because you get an ability and a corporation. So like deciding how you're going to match those up is always fun as well.
Yeah. I'm looking at the BGG ranking there. It's 8.8. I mean, it's a 10, dude. Just send it 10.
If you just Google best board game expansions, this is on every list.
I mean, it's essential. I don't think you can play the game without it. There's no reason not to.
That's right. All right. Your last one.
My last one.
For today. Not all time, just for today.
Where's all the expansions that we hate, Jared?
We're not doing that today. That wasn't part of the assignment.
Well, as we've talked about, I mean, it's only appropriate, right, that we talk about Wingspan in every episode of this podcast.
No, we don't have to do that.
But, I mean, Wingspan Oceania expansion obviously is one of the best expansions, period, for, I mean, it adds yellow eggs because who doesn't love yellow eggs? But anyway, the best thing that this expansion does is, one, it adds a new board, but it adds a new resource of nectar. And so this nectar can be used as a wild resource. And so you can spend it for anything. And also, like, the more you spend.
Calm down, buddy. It's just resource.
Yeah. The more you spend nectar throughout the game to buy things or buy cards or, you know, play birds, is you get to store them on your player board and eventually score extra points at the end of the game. So it's another way to score points. It's another resource. And it's just another thing that adds a little bit extra complexity, but very, very minor. Doesn't add like stress to anybody's minds. Like, it's just, honestly, it adds more flexibility in the way you play cards because now you have this wild resource. The other thing that I love that this, obviously, this expansion adds a ton more birds that apply and use nectar to help, you know, do stuff. You either play them or they, you know, collect nectar or whatever. The fact alone is that it adds a whole set of dice that now have the nectar symbol on them. But also, I think they balance those dice to be a little bit stronger. Like, it adds a little bit more double resources. So now you get to pick. So they added the nectar, which is a wild, but then they also added more slash, you know, pick one of something else. So you have a little bit more flexibility. It's not like, oh, I have to take this one. I can take this or that. And so the original dice had a lot of like individual symbols, totally fine. But the worms are the most prevalent on this. On this one, you can either take nectar or something else. And I think that's so cool because obviously nectar is wild, but sometimes you don't always want it because you can't store it. You can store the other resources. That's the technical thing there. But on top of that, it adds like a bunch of new birds from Oceania. And I love, obviously, all of their expansions are great. It adds birds from Europe or Asia or whatever. Again, that ability and flexibility, I love playing this with new people as well because it just adds, it's just like a relief. Like, you don't have to like stressing out about having to get all the rats or like whatever. Like, take some nectar. Like, you don't have to re-roll all those dice. You know, just take the nectar and you're good. So
that's right. No, the nectar is what makes this expansion for sure. And I do like the added bit that you can only store so much nectar at a time.
Yeah.
So you can't just hoard wilds. But it definitely adds. It does a similar thing to Prelude, where you no longer feel like my engine is at zero or -1. Yeah. And instead, I'm actually starting to churn a little bit faster.
No, that's an absolute true point. And you bring that up. So at the beginning of the game, before this expansion came out, and obviously we played a lot of this game prior, and I did. I always felt like turn one, like that whole round, like basically playing a bird on turn one of round one was really hard to do. You could do it, but it wasn't going to be the best for you because you really want to stock up like your overall, at least a general strategy that you were going for. Like, okay, I'm going to play a couple of these birds in my hand. And usually you couldn't keep more than one in your hand. That was really hard to do. With the Oceana expansion and the Nectar, I can, now that I, one, you gain, you have a Nectar at the beginning of the game, so that's already an extra resource compared to the others you already had. On top of that, like, you're able to now play a bird and keep some extra from the starting hand. Normally you get, like, I think a hand of seven, you have to keep whatever one you want, but you have to pay for them. Now I can keep three or four and play a bird because I have that extra resource that is a wild. So now I can double up on something if I want. It, again, yeah, it's like Prelude. Like, it's just setting players up for success on turn one because, like, everybody wants to play a bird. And obviously playing birds is a like, big thing, and it helps you get you your engine going. If I can tell a new player, like, hey, keep two birds and play both of them and make sure you have the resources from, that's way easier than me saying, okay, well, you have to do this. You have to balance it out perfectly. So, that, you know, blah, 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 blah. Let's keep it simple. Straight to the point here. It's a great expansion. It allows, I think, new players to get easily, like, get some birds out on turn one. But also, as somebody that's played a bunch of times, I think it's great because I can just keep a bunch of birds in my hand and then play them immediately.
I'm with you, for sure. It's, dude, it's so good. All right. And I'm going to do something with our last game that I hate doing in our podcast. Actively avoid games that I love if I know that they're out of print. Like, I won't talk about them, no matter what. But I am going to do it here.
Oh, no.
Because, here's what I'm going to say. I'm actually looking to see if I can find it, because I feel like I read not too long ago that they were considering bringing it no longer out of print. However you're supposed to say that.
Reprinting it.
Yeah, whenever they're considering, thank you for giving me words. Okay, one second, I'm looking here. Okay, all right, so here's the deal. I've got it pulled up. So, the game.
What's the game?
The game is Stockpile.
Okay.
I love Stockpile so much. I have not found a better money market game that combines like fun interacting with stocks, simplicity for entry, and adds all of these real fictional characters. So like Bernie Sanders is in the game, Bill Gates is in the game, Donald Trump, like all these different characters that are real people. There's not, you know, but you know who they are. Anyways, so what Continuing Corruption does is it's that expansion that adds more stuff, but what it really does is it adds dice instead of fixed cards that determines the market for the next round. So with the base game, you basically have a certain number of cards that coalesce with the number of players that you're playing with, and you just shuffle those up and they get distributed to the different stocks. But with the dice, you have six dice, you chuck them, and you could have a really crazy round, good or bad. Like it's a true game changer. I love the dice. It adds some other stuff, so it's no longer just buying stocks. You're also considering things like, do I invest in corn or cattle or platinum or things like that? Do I buy bonds that are not going to really do anything for me, but they're growing an investment throughout the game, and then I can sell them back at the end? It adds more characters. And so for one of my favorite games of all time, Continuing Corruption just adds a whole bunch of great stuff and improves on the base game mechanic of how they distribute what each stock is going to do. And I saw on May 19th, Seth Van Orden, who is one of the designers of this game, there was a question: is there any chance of a reprint for this game? And his response was, we are working on a new version of the game. So
nice.
I am here to say, please, everyone needs a copy of this game. I think that's a bit of a hot take, but that's how I feel about it. So if Nauvoo is doing it, or if somebody else is picking up the rights, I would love, love, love to see this game come back into print. So yeah. I am going to mention it here.
I guess the question is, like, when you print the game, do you do the dice? Like, if that was the thought?
Oh, 100%. I think you have to. Like, it's, oh, dude, the dice are so good.
Yeah.
It just adds so many more options for what can happen to the market. And I think it enhanced the game in an incredible way. Like, it just...
Does that expansion add, like, enough to be considered a mini expansion because it was released after the game? Or, like, could you do it as in a release and, it, like, there's enough to say, like, it's not enough to be, like, its own expansion, really, but you could say it's a mini expansion to add those little modules?
I think you could add the modules to the base game. I think there's enough here that it stands on its own as an expansion. But if you were just like, no, we're not going to add all of this, but we are going to add certain elements of it, I think they would absolutely do that.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah. That's awesome.
But I love Stockpile. If you can find a used copy, don't even hesitate. I mean, unless it's like $300 and then like maybe hesitate a little bit. But
I've played this game with you. It was a lot of fun. It's a great stock market game. I'd go to say it's definitely the best, at least that I've played. There's plenty of other ones, but this one... Yeah. Obviously, is really good.
I just love the way this game lets you feel like you're playing the stock market in a simplistic but still fun way. It does it so well. I don't know what happened and why they stopped printing it, because this game is just so good.
But who originally did it?
Naboo Games.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you just never know, I guess, but yeah.
I genuinely don't. I mean, I don't know, but yeah. Anyways, those are our games, Ian. So there's obviously more expansions that we love, but for this list, those are the ones that we pulled. So
where's the ones we hate? I don't get it. They're not here.
I don't even know if I have expansions that I hate. Like, I don't know that I could come up with a list for that.
I think we probably could come up with something.
It'd be a lot more work, though. I don't know. I'm really interested in that.
I do think, no, this, I have one. Should I say it?
Go ahead.
The Seven Wonders Babel was awful.
Is that with the new Seven Wonders?
No. Or
the old one?
It's the original. Okay. It was not, no. The Babel was basically they already had two really great expansions, and then they're like, hey, let's do a third, and it wasn't good, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I don't know that I hate it, but I remember getting the expansions for Five Tribes. Like, I love Five Tribes. Just Days of Wonder. Just get your love on today, I guess.
Yeah.
This episode is all about you.
Expansions, Days of Wonder.
Crushing it. And then, but I just remember playing with the Five Tribes expansion after hunting them down for so long. And I was just like, I really just like base Five Tribes. Like, I don't know that I need all this other stuff.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't know if I have another one.
This was a silly impromptu thing to do.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, that would be the one, though. That Seven Wonders was definitely one. So
awesome. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for putting up with our antics if you're watching on YouTube. And thanks for checking out my bedroom as we go on this journey of switching houses. And I don't really know what I'm doing with my life. But if you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, Ian's Shelf, My Bedroom, any of those things, please reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Links to our socials and all the other things are down in the description. If you would, please 5-star reviews, subscribing, and all your podcast players of choice, including YouTube, following us on socials, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Anna Snyder for the intro and outro music, and to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. We'll have that again someday. I don't know when, but we will. Join us next week as we do something. We will have a bonus episode coming for our Gen Con wrap-up that Anna and I are going to do.
So nice.
Stay tuned
nice.
For that. Very excited. When this drops, we'll be driving. Because this will drop at 3 in the morning. That afternoon, we'll be going to Gen Con. So I'm very excited.
Man, I'm so excited for y'all. It's going to be great.
I'm pumped.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Yep.
In the meantime. No, in the meantime. May your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever. All right, now you can say toodles.
Still waiting for those expansions we hate, but toodles.